Welcome to a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This story comes from Fantasy and Science Fiction of February 1962. It's Rebel, written by Ward Moore.
Oh, seriously, son,
said Kaluto's father, not quite meeting his eye.
You aren't a child anymore. Your mother and I naturally worry. Someday, when you have a family of your own, you'll understand
how we... You mustn't think we're narrow-minded or bigoted, dear.
Interrupted his mother gently, shifting her position on the couch slightly, adjusting her silver robe so its folds fell gracefully from shoulder and hip.
Remember when your cousin Tristram took up rhyming and your poor uncle was so dreadfully upset? Well, we were the first to say that the boy would pull out of it and settle down.
That's right, and he has. He certainly has, Kaluto. It was just a phase, and we all knew it. Yes, Tristram has good stuff in him, but no better than you, Kaluto. No better than you.
No. It's not that we're holding Tristram up as a model. If you wanted to, you could easily do much better.
That's the whole point. As you say, rhyming was just a phase with him. He actually wants to do the acceptable things, while I...
Dear, why don't you recline comfortably instead of perching on that horrible straight-backed chair?
I like to sit up straight. I don't like lying down except when I'm ready to go to sleep.
The affection in Mr. Smith's face changed to annoyance, the familiar annoyance and impatience Kaluto increasingly had grown used to in the past few years.
That's it. That's it. Never mind what anyone else does. Think only of what you've decided you like to sit up straight. You like to wear that outlandish costume. You like your hair that...
Reflexively, he tossed his own shoulder-length curls, dyed a pale blue to match the wig his wife was wearing.
That juvenile way.
Your blood pressure, dear. Please.
She rested her face prettily on a smooth-skinned arm, lightly sprinkled with iridescent powder, so that her silver-painted eyelashes just cleared the flesh.
These things are only symptoms. Not too important in themselves, but added together, they show...
They show that everyone is out of step but him. Just as your mother says, Kaluto, they're symptoms, and I blame myself for not recognizing them sooner. Why, when you were only a little kid, you were outdoors in the fresh air from morning till night, playing games, exercising, trading toys with other maladjusted children instead of lying around all day with your nose in a book like a healthy boy. We only smiled when you prattled of what you wanted to be when you grew up, instead of realizing we had a serious problem on our hands. Oh, we were too soft with you.
You never wanted for anything.
Good heavens, son. Do you want to be a misfit all your life? Don't you want to become a responsible member of society? Don't you think you owe other people something? Honestly, Kaluto, I don't understand you at all.
Look, Dad, I'm sorry. Truly sorry if I'm making you and Mom unhappy. If you could only see it from my side. I can't paint or sculpt or compose.
Oh, you've had every opportunity, Kaluto. The finest teachers, all sorts of help and encouragement. It seems to me you could at least make an attempt. It isn't as if we were asking something outrageous or unheard of, is it? Is all your education to be wasted because you just throw up your hands and say you can't? Where's your gumption? How do you know you can't?
Besides, Kaluto, we don't expect you to do exactly what we do in the way we do. Oh, we're not the kind of people who think we're perfect.
She looked complacently toward the wall where her husband's Sun Otter in Very Yes Yous hung in all its splendid color. But Kaluto knew she was thinking of her own novella for three harpsichords and 95 kettle drums in F-sharp major. In all fairness, he admitted they had something, both of them, and he was proud of them in a way.
But we don't understand why you don't want to make something of yourself. Why can't you settle down?
But, Mom, I do. Really, I do. Only
what? Look, we're not callous or hidebound. We know youth has to experiment, yes, and even defy convention now and then. It's all part of growing up.
His carefully made-up face looked very smug under the blue curls. He reached from his couch over to the low table and pressed the button which popped a lighted cigarette between his lips.
One of these for you, Coludo.
No, thanks, Dad.
Don't you ever, Coludo.
No, he doesn't. Not even for courtesy's sake. Not even to be sociable. The same with liquor. Why, don't you remember? It was his 14th or 15th birthday. I forgot which one. And all the other boys and girls were getting pleasant, and he wouldn't even touch a drop. Not champagne, not a highball, not a martini, not even a little dry wine or a glass of beer.
But, Dad, it makes me sick.
Oh, nonsense. It's all in your mind. Besides, do you think people should do only what they fancy? Never sacrifice their own whims to the prevailing code? Do you think your mother and I always do solely what pleases us rather than what's proper and right? Oh, good heavens, Coludo. Do you want anarchy, chaos?
Honestly, Dad, I'm not advocating... That is, I'm not the wild-eyed dreamer you seem to think. I know most people, all our family, our friends, everyone with whom we come in contact, are satisfied to be novelists, poets, sculptors, musicians. I don't want to change them. I appreciate that they're necessary.
Necessary? Oh,
now,
necessary.
Buck, please. Oh, Coludo, I'm sure you don't want to make your father ill, dear. We love you, and we're proud of you, even though we certainly don't understand your attitude. Don't you truly want to live a useful life?
Mother,
yes,
don't
dear.
You see? It's all in the definition of what is useful. I've agreed that for the average person, for most people, working in the arts is good enough. I just happen to want something different.
But do you suppose everyone felt the way you do?
That's right.
What would happen to the world? I can't imagine everyone abandoning common sense, but suppose they did. What would you do for something to read, something to hear, something to look at? Surely you don't want to be a drone.
No, Mom. Believe me, I don't.
Well, then, dear...
There are other things besides the aesthetic in life. Human beings aren't condemned only to the prosaic, the inevitable. There's a whole realm beyond the humdrum and the ordinary, in which some can work happily for a lifetime.
Oh, that sounds quite mystical, dear. Can't you be a little more specific?
You know what I want to do. I've wanted it ever since I was 8.
Kids, fancy. Grow up.
Honestly, Coludo, you can't still, at 22, want to be a
businessman. Buying and selling, getting rich. An 8-year-old's ambition inside a mature body. Grow up, Coludo.
But Dad, you yourself admire the great businessmen. Everyone does. Why, in school, we had hours and hours of tapes about Morgan and Vanderbilt and Wanamaker.
Yes, you're important, Woolworth. I'm no hidebound bourgeois, son. I reverence those great men as much as you do, maybe more. You talk of school. I never had anything but straight A's in commerce appreciation.
In commerce appreciation, they give you moldy stuff. No wonder you think the only great businessmen are dead. And that commerce is finished and done with just because it's possible to live. And live comfortably enough, I suppose, if you have no soul, without it in our times. But for some of us, it isn't possible. Business means too much to us. Not just antique business or immortals like Nuffield or Astor, but living, experimenting, changing, modern business. Don't you see? It isn't enough to bow before Daniel Drew or Charles E. Wilson. I want to carry on their tradition.
Coludo, you insist that we're totally insensitive. Yet hardly a Sunday goes by that I don't look over the financial page of the Times. Now, I'm not someone who never gets beyond the art and theater sections or the book reviews. Now, if you had said you wanted to be an architect, for example, or anything which could be considered remotely practical, I would have... I don't say I would have been happy about it, but I would have sympathized, Coludo. But this...
Dad!
Anyway, what makes you think you're a Drew or a Wilson or a Carnegie or a Doheny? I guess I can throw famous names around myself when I want to.
I don't think I'm a Carnegie or a Doheny. I have no hope of anything like that. But just because I can't be a Rockefeller or a Frick doesn't mean I won't be satisfied to be the best I can. Look, I know it's hard for you to understand.
Oh, not as hard as you think, dear. I wanted to be a mechanic when I was little. And your father wanted to be... you'll never guess. An accountant.
For the first time, they were not roadblocks, jailers, enemies, but human beings. Human beings who had felt, no matter how weakly, his own dominant impulses.
Maybe I came by my queer streak honestly.
Well, perhaps you did. We all have odd ideas sometimes. But don't you get the point, Carudo? We outgrew our infantile silliness before it crystallized into a social behavior and possibly juvenile delinquency.
I knew a girl who used to shave mustaches off collages. She had to go to, I don't know how many animals.
Oh, and we became mature, responsible people, Carudo, fit to be parents. Perhaps you think I never had a nostalgic thought for double entry or an adding machine.
Or I for a crescent wrench.
But we recognized these for the immature daydreams they were and put them behind us. I don't say the mirage of columns of figures hasn't been transmuted into a splash of color here or a bit of draftsmanship there, or that the movement of pistons and wrist pins hasn't entered into your mother's symphonies, but so have longings for other solaces we left behind in childhood or adolescence. We grew up, son. We faced the world. And sometimes it isn't easy, but being an adult has its rewards, believe me.
I do believe you, Dad. My only question is, why should commerce be considered not grown up?
Well, we can't all be wrong now, can we, dear?
Carudo struggled against the feeling of falling into warm, soft, meek acquiescence.
Of course not. Only I think, I assure you I'm not trying to set myself against your experience or wisdom, that for someone like myself maybe, it is possible to be adult and a businessman at the same time.
Well, maybe it is. But it's a long, hard struggle, Carudo. And even if you succeed, what have you got? An existence on the fringes of society. No position, no security, no solid respect outside of a circle of crackpots who talk a language no one understands and go into ecstasies over what no one else is interested in. Now, even putting that aside, how do you justify yourself in the meantime? How can you face the young men and women of your own age who are making names for themselves as dramatists or conductors or muralists while you pursue a financial will-o'-the-wisp?
Maybe I could get a Gainsborough.
Gainsborough?
You know, Bob, a Gainsborough Fellowship from the John Henry Gainsborough Memorial Foundation. They give aesthetic equivalent grants to commercial people.
That's absurd. That's carrying water on both shoulders. Aesthetic equivalent grants, indeed. How can we hope to compete with the Martians when our best minds are tempted into romantic pursuits? You don't think they have fellowships to encourage dilettantes, do you? Or that their young people occupy themselves with trade instead of the things that count?
How can you be so sure what counts and what doesn't? Look at it this way. You say I'm no Hartford or Schwab. Agreed. But with all respect, because you're not Botticelli and Mom isn't Mozart doesn't make either of you stop your work.
For the first time, his parents looked shocked.
Carudo, it isn't the same thing. It isn't the same thing at all.
That's right.
We have our humble place in the world, but we fill it to the best of our ability. We don't run away from life, and we don't turn our back on what is real and vital and important to pursue grandiose dreams. We do our ordinary, inescapable work. Oh, darling, do you think I never feel an impulse to shut the piano and tinker with the jet plane? And we are respectable members of society instead of brilliant eccentrics. Oh, darling, you can sneer at artists. Oh, yes, you do, Carudo. I know you do. You sneer at us in your heart, I know. And you think we're dull and frumpy and outdated because we wear robes instead of that absurd jacket and... what's it called? Trousers? Yes, the trousers you affect. Or because we dye our hair and use wigs like normal people instead of making spectacles of ourselves. or because we go to bed at a reasonable hour instead of retiring at dark and getting up with the sun as you do, turning night into night. Oh, don't think we haven't noticed and been ashamed, lest others would too. Oh, what do you think would happen if everyone thought as you do or acted the way you want to act?
I'm not asking them to. I find a jacket and trousers comfortable. It isn't an affectation. And I like my hair cut short and undyed. It's convenient. And I get up early because...
You get up because ordinary folk like us don't. Anything to be different.
Dad, that's not it at all. I get up because there's so much I want to do, and the early hours are the best.
Kaludo, we just don't speak the same language. Everyone knows the morning is only fit to sleep through, and no one can possibly be alive, much less alert, before noon. And if you went to bed at a decent hour, you couldn't get up before 12 or 1.
But, gosh, don't you think there's room in the world for more than one set of values?
If there is, Kaludo, don't you think it's up to you to show it? You ought to be willing to test your values against ours. You ought to do something better if you really believe in your values and aren't just bone lazy and trying to skin out of work. And repeat over and over like a defective child that you want to do this and you like that. You ought to prove your values are real by mastering ours. If you really want to be a businessman, you ought to show the world you have the discipline to be an artist first. Serve your apprenticeship, Kaludo. Paint or write or do something socially acceptable for 5 or 10 years. Show the results of your work by the appreciation of critics and reviewers. And then having acquitted yourself honorably in the real world, it'll be time enough to enter this life of fantasy if you still have the taste for it.
Dad.
I know what you're going to say, Kaludo. That by then you will have lost your zest, weren't you? Isn't that what you're going to say? That proves my point.
Kaludo, you know your father is right. No boy so carefully brought up, so well educated as you could help it. Oh, listen to us who love you, who have watched over you from the moment you were born, who sat up long hours and remember your first tooth, your first step, your first words. Do what your father says. It's for your own good. Deep down, you must know it. Oh, don't disgrace us. Don't wreck your life.
And don't forget, Kaludo, if you are determined to be a businessman, you will be a better one for your experience as a poet or a violinist. And if your notion persists, remember you can write or paint all night and still find an hour or two to buy and sell in your spare time. Why now I come to think of it, I've heard of a number of quite serious people who go into commerce as a hobby. Weekend entrepreneurs, you know, and don't think they haven't made good at work while getting the last ounce of recreation out of their diversion.
You see, we're not trying to thwart you. Oh, Kaludo, I'm sure Bach might even be willing to have a store or an office or whatever it is built right onto your studio.
Well, if I see some real
so that when you're tired out after your work, you can relax with your money and your inventories and your checkbooks. Oh, Kaludo, please, my darling, we're only trying to help you. And we won't even insist on a mistress or even smoking or drinking, except in company, naturally. And you could wear a long wig over that ridiculous haircut.
Now, let's not go too far. Now, certainly the boy can have time to fool around with investments and such, but a respectable appearance I must insist on. No more the sitting stiffly in chairs as though there were something wrong with a sacroiliac instead of lounging decently. No more odd hours disrupting any sensible schedule. And a decorous toga or robe. And I think a little, just a minimum amount of makeup. After all, you owe us something.
But, Dad, Mom...
Say no more, Kaludo. Say no more. You're a good boy, basically, and, well, I'm willing to humor you to a certain extent. You'll outgrow your commercial nonsense. You think you won't, but you will. And someday you'll look back and be grateful to us for being firm with you. Remember... We love you, Kaludo.
I suppose you do,
muttered Kaluto bitterly, foreseeing the long years of drudgery with mahl stick or baton, typewriter or paintbrush, until the bright vision of dollars and cents faded away into resigned acceptance of their drab, hopeless world.
Yes, I suppose you do love me. What else would justify you?
That was Rebel by Ward Moore, short story that appeared in Fantasy and Science Fiction, February of 1962. We conclude with a brief story by Grendel Brierton that appeared in Never in This World, edited by Adela Purnell Stone. This short piece is called Through Time and Space with Ferdinand Feghout. It was Ferdinand Feghout who discovered Yip Kwan and persuaded him to move to the 39th century.
Mr. Yip,
he informed the Time Travelers Club.
Mr. Yip is the greatest natural psychokineticist in all history. He put every Chinese laundry in Milwaukee, 1912, out of business. He hired no help. He needed no plant or equipment. He simply sat down before a mountain of dirty old laundry and wished it all clean, ironed and sorted and wrapped. He closed his eyes for a moment and pop, it was done. In no time at all, he'd made millions of dollars.
Old Dr. Gropius Volkswagen rose to his feet.
Then why is he here? Why did he not stay where he was so happy and rich?
He was rich, but not happy. His fellow Chinese weren't at all fond of him. Some of them snubbed him completely, and none of them ever invited him anywhere.
That is strange. The Chinese worshipped commercial success. Did he commit some unforgivable crime? Did he violate some precept of maybe Confucius?
Oh, no. No, it was nothing like that. It was just they found him a little too wishy-washy.
Thank you.
That was Through Time and Space with Ferdinand Flaghoot. A short story by Grendel Brierton that appears in Never in This World, edited by Adela Purnell Stone. This is Michael Hansen speaking. Reading earlier in the program with me were Carol Cowan and Rick Murphy. Technical production for MindWebs by Steve Gordon. MindWebs comes to you from WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension.